No Syntax is brought to you by Caffeine Driven Media, where we have the beans to say what the hell we feel. Hello and welcome to No Syntax. I am Landon Isles, your host. Welcome to episode 9, given on this day, 27 January 2019. Now, before I get started, I just want to have a quick shout out to both Mike Isles and Chris Flores. Mike Isles may be a relation. I don't know. I haven't done a DNA test. I don't think he has either. But just simply that because that last name is not very common. We happen to come across each other on a Facebook page, and we've been following each other and been friends ever since. Chris Flores is a high school buddy from back in West Texas, but both of them have a birthday today, so happy birthday. Hope you have a great day, great week, great rest of the month, more years to come. And no, I'm not singing you happy birthday because I would not do that to you or anybody in my entire lifetime. Aside from that excitement of wishing my dear friends a happy birthday, I also want to say that I'm really excited for another reason. So last week, I went to upload our last episode, and I happened to see that my subscriber base doubled. To be clear, it's not a super high number, and I'm pretty good with that because I believe I've mentioned this before, that I do this for fun. So it really gives me great pleasure. It amps me up to know that people are out there listening. So to all of you, hand on heart, a big thanks to all 160 of you. You make this world and mine pretty freaking awesome. And so this show is dedicated to you. Now, before we delve further, I wanted to read a post comment from someone who's become my favorite listener. You all know and love her, my dear Miss Leslie, codenamed The Librarian. I pulled that out of my ass. No, I didn't. I just felt it would be great to put that together. I really probably should have her on the show. I've been looking at having guests on the show, and it could be guests, it could be listeners, and we could just shoot the shit and just have a great time doing it. I've been really thinking about doing that overall. It's just, what guests do I have? Who do I have? Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third type thing. So, I feel she would make a great guest. So, Leslie, let me know what you think. But anyhow, she writes, I have seen that Charmin commercial and it doesn't make sense. Shirley Jr. went through a diaper phase. Underwear with skid marks is nothing compared to a toddler's poopy diaper. Do people say poopy still? Poopy diapers? I had to think back to, what was that movie? Groundhog Day. Poopy? Do we have to call them poopy diapers? Anyway, sorry, Leslie. And basically she goes on to say, now I forgot to have my own children, but did have to change my toddler niece's diaper. Oh my God. It's a good thing we love them. And that's true because, God gave poop odor. And after a while, it's not fun changing diapers. I don't personally know. I could only assume. Because we as humans are pretty gross and vile when it comes to the old number two, some more than others. I know I've walked into restrooms and tried to figure out who died. You know where I'm going with this, but anyway. So she brings up a point. Her comment reminds me of the bear asking the rabbit if he has a problem with shit sticking to his fur. And of course, if you've heard the story, you know the rest. So maybe getting Charmin clean is equivalent to wiping your ass with a bunny rabbit. I mean, God forbid they came out with a commercial depicting that scenario, or have they done that already? For some reason, in the back of my mind, I think somebody did it. It might have been Charmin or some other company did something similar in nature where there was that, you know, indirect little innuendo of the bear, you know, asking the rabbit if shit sticks to his fur in the woods. That maybe they've done, I don't recall. But if they haven't, I bet they don't have a hair on their ass to do it. See what I did there? Yep, I cracked myself up. Anyway, moving on. So last week, I had questioned or had a question about how long factcheck.org had been around. And the librarian came through with some intel on that for me. So she states that factcheck.org let me explain really quick. I'm saying factcheck.org very slow because I tried to say it earlier before I started recording the show. And I was really, my tongue felt as though it was getting caught in between my teeth. And the thing is, we could say www.whatever.com and it trips off the tongue very well. But when you have two words that end in K and it's followed by a .org, it's just for me, it's weird. So I have to really make sure that I enunciate appropriately by saying factcheck.org. Anyway, they've been around since 2003. And it's nonpartisan, nonprofit. And she tells me that they refer their students to it regularly because the culture of today's students, they get most of their news from social media. And she's got a point. You know, we all know how reliable social media news is. So, and I began to really think about what she was saying because, you know, it's a pity that students aren't made to go through a manual phase of school at each grade level. You know, so obviously, I mean, I don't know what school teaches anymore. I haven't paid attention. I personally don't have kids myself, so I don't know. I do have friends who do have children, but they're more like mid-grade, you know, or high school students. And we never gotten really into a conversation about, you know, what they're learning, what type of classes they're in. But I would be interested in knowing, you know, what that process is now in comparison to where what I went through growing up, you know, kindergarten, you learned you had to write numbers, you had to write letters, you started to put together words, you know, started to understand spelling. And now my understanding is I think they're getting away from handwriting, they're getting away from cursive, and they don't teach that anymore. So I really would like them to continue to do that at each level, just to kind of let these kids know, you let the younger generation know what it's like not to have electronic media, not to have technology and be so reliable upon it. You know, I feel as though that it's, you're doing them a disservice by constantly perpetuating what is, you know, the world today, the digital world. And I don't know. I want them to understand what it's like to have to really research information and put it to paper. You know, I'm not talking about typing it on a computer and then printing it out. I'm talking about actually having to handwrite and hand jam this stuff on lined paper. And I'm being serious when I say this because to Miss Leslie's point, you know, we understand what a viable source of information is and we don't take things at face value. We reference and cross-reference. You know, now I don't know, so I could be making assumption that a majority of students don't understand what that means. I could be wrong six ways from Sunday. But you know what? I get it. I mean, I'm an analog human being in a digital world. And what I mean by that statement is I can hand print, hand write, and digitally sign my name. I understand the Dewey Decimal System, but I also know how to use shortcut keystrokes to basically scan through and find information in a document faster. But we're moving towards an age where no human being eventually, this is how I feel, no human being will ever have to manually sign anything. You know, God forbid we have some form of apocalyptic event taking place that, you know, basically put us back in the Stone Age, per se. Because in my personal opinion, you know, a majority of the Earth's population would probably short-circuit and not survive because technology for the most part has made younger generations and probably even the older generations, even my generations, you know, a little weak. I mean, that's just kind of what I'm thinking there. You know, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not saying I'm wrong, but, what do you think? Before you answer, listen to this.
It's not just possible that we will create jobs and economic activity by transitioning to renewable energy, but it's inevitable that we are going to create jobs. It's inevitable that we're going to create industry, and it's inevitable that we can use the transition to 100% renewable energy as the vehicle to truly deliver and establish economic, social, and racial justice in the United States.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
So shifting gears, I wanted to talk on a touchy subject that's been in the news of late. And this might piss a few listeners off. I don't know. I don't know your thought process. Everybody's here to think freely on what they want to do. I mean, it just is what it is, right? So anyway, I wanted to talk about the subject because the way some of this was written in some of the articles that I read threw me off. Because I certainly wasn't fazed by it, and the way that this subject came up and the way it was presented made it seem like the military service members were a bit shocked by this approach, by President Trump's move to basically, to get to the point, Congress moving forward with the ban of transgenders from the armed forces. And obviously it has caused an uproar, and I'm looking at this from different points of view. I could understand why. Now, let me be clear. I really don't care one way or another how you identify yourself, man, woman, or anything in between. If you could pick up a weapon and fight, you have my vote. If you can do the job that you've been trained to do to help your fellow soldier, sailor, marine, airmen, or airwomen, and to be clear, airmen is not meant to be discriminatory against women in the Air Force. It's a term that applies to both. Soldiers apply to men and women altogether. It's a universal term. So same thing with airmen. But I went ahead and, you know, was a little politically correct because airmen, airwomen sounds kind of weird. I don't mean any disrespect. It just doesn't, when you're not used to saying it, you kind of look at it as, never mind, I'm digging myself in a hole. So I'm going to shut up right now. Anyway, it just makes no difference to me. So thinking back to before Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed, I unknowingly had soldiers serving under me who I just didn't have any idea of their sexual orientation until years after they exited service. So I will tell you, some of them, you know, they got out, Facebook came to be, you know, we kind of linked up, and I find out that they're out of the service, they're no longer in the service, branch immaterial. And then I find out that, wow, okay, you know, this is a homosexual male or homosexual female, or gay male, gay female. I mean, whatever vernacular you want to utilize, right? And I was like, wow, okay, I would have never guessed. And, you know, before Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I'm sure that there's a majority of soldiers out there that had to do everything they could to keep their sexual orientation as private as possible because they didn't want to get kicked out of service. So, you know, and I understand that. But they were the best soldiers I ever had the pleasure of working with. And then here we are years later where we have service members who openly identify their orientation and nobody really gives a shit. I mean, at least I haven't seen it in my ranks. I mean, the bottom line, it's pretty much business as usual. It's no different than a casual conversation. It's like you find out, you meet somebody, you meet a soldier, and they start talking about themselves and they start talking about their immediate family, and they refer to their significant other or their spouse, you know, as my wife, a female soldier saying, well, my wife. And it doesn't. It just didn't fit. I just don't have time to worry about that stuff or go, oh my God, you're telling me that you're gay? Bullshit. You know, I mean, we're all human and that's what really matters. You know, and again, like I've said, some of these soldiers, they're no different than anybody else. You know, soldiers, Marines, airmen, airwomen, sailors, people who serve in the military are wired differently. And I think and I firmly believe that we are wired differently, and we're wired differently in the context that maybe it's in our DNA. Maybe we're just prone to enter some sort of federal service, whether it's the military, whether it's a fire department, whether it's a police department, whatever the case may be, we're wired a little bit different than most. And I'm not saying that we're superior. We just have something in us that allows us to handle the things that being in federal service can throw at you, right? And so I think in that context, it makes us special. So, and I know back in the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s, you know, there was this big thing about, you know, homosexuality, and nobody would come out of the closet. Nobody ever wanted to admit they were gay. Nobody wanted to openly admit that they were gay. Or maybe that was just the way everything was just contained. The media contained it, you know, shows contained it. So it wasn't very out in the open. I mean, maybe within the early 80s, the exception of Three's Company, you know, where it was like Jack Tripper, who even real life was homosexual. On the show, he was a straight man pretending to be homosexual. But it was bringing that dynamic out into the open in a show where it's like, it's okay. But the situational pieces to that were still kind of, were still muddled and just not very open in comparison to the shows that you see today, where there is open affection on the shows. Between men, between women, and now it's kind of just one of those things that has come and went and nobody really gives a shit about. So, you know, here we are talking about banning of transgenders from military service. And what's the take on it? So some media news outlets and writers, I think, are skewing the facts and expressing their personal bias because of their strong dislike towards the president of the United States. I mean, dutifully comparing medication costs for transgender service members against what the military pays for annual, shit. I almost slipped and said anal. My fault. My apologies. And certainly that was no pun intended. But, let me reset my thought here. So, the medication costs for transgender service members, because there is medications that they have to take, is being compared against what the military pays for annually in erectile dysfunctional medication, or ED medication. Now, I'm not meaning to be rude or disrespectful, but that comparison is flawed and just didn't make sense. You know, in the news article, one author mentioned a RAND study. Everybody, you probably heard of the RAND Corporation. And in some form or fashion, I'm not paraphrasing, I'm not quoting, but it was stated that transgender medication, by their study alone, would only cost the Department of Defense an extra $8.4 million in comparison to, I believe the number was $84 million spent on erectile dysfunction medication. Now, God saw it fit not to give me the math gene, but when I read about that comparison, let me just put it like this. Of course, the Department of Defense is going to spend more on ED meds, on ED meds. Of course, they're going to spend more when you're telling me that only 1%, approximately 15,000, this is service wide. Okay. This is all the services together, probably to even include the Coast Guard. All right. About 1%, approximately 15,000 service members are transgender. So you've got a very small population of the military service transgender that, oh, it's only going to cost us 8.4. Look at it. They spent $84 million on ED med. Of course they do. Males are make up a predominance of the frickin' military forces. And we stay in and we get old and we have plumbing problems. Why would they not? Your comparison is flawed, dude. I'm sorry. And this wasn't not a very well-known media site, I don't believe. But I was like, you can't make that comparison. I mean, to me, that was, I get where he was going. I understand what he was talking about. And what he was getting at was the powers that be that talk about not having transgenders serving in any branch of service was talking about costs and distractions. For me, that cost comparison of the ED meds to what the medications that transgenders require, I mean, again, it's flawed. It's not, to me, that was not the right approach overall. I don't know what the right approach would be. I could assume that the main problem, it could be readiness, although there have been reports, there have been studies by professionals who are smarter than me that have said that it's not going to be a readiness issue, or it won't promote a readiness issue. And I would probably have to agree to disagree, because What were they asking? Did they ask the right questions? Because I feel if in my unit, I had a couple of soldiers, rank and material, who were identified as transgender, and for some reason, they had some medical issue that was transgender related that took them out of the fight for deployment. Now I have a readiness issue at my level. So while on a macro level, it may not affect an organization, on a micro level, those might be my two important key players, right? And that's just two people. Never mind that what goes on with soldiers, male and female soldiers that have medical issues or may have to go in for surgery or come up with a condition that requires medication that can't be issued in mass quantities, right? And therefore, they become non-deployable. So it's not just trying to factor in one subset of individuals being transgender. It's all around. Those two people are just as important as any other soldier, any other Marine, any other sailor, any other airman or airwoman, any coastie. Just overall, they are a relative importance at the direct level. And I think that's where we're missing the boat. Now, maybe on a point, and I was talking to somebody about this, maybe on a good point, it's like, if you still let transgenders come in, but they need to come in fully operational, right? Meaning that they don't need any surgeries. All they need is their medication. And that's it. And then let them continue to serve. You know, and I don't see what the big deal is in that. But what we don't want is somebody that's going to come in and use the government, leverage the government to pay for continued surgeries, which is going to take them out of the fight. Now, I personally don't know. I know of the surgeries, but I don't know what their recovery time is. I haven't researched it. And it's not that I don't care. It's just not something that I'm really interested in looking at. However, maybe I should, just to kind of see what the news media is saying in comparison to what a doctor says who performs a surgery and says, okay, if I give you the surgery, you could potentially be out for 8 weeks. You could be out for 6 months. You could be out for a year. And therefore, if you have one person out for a year, that affects your readiness entirely. One person, especially if that person is in a critical field. Because what people fail to understand is we just don't get backfills. We don't get replacements. If I have five people and one of them is transgender and requires a surgery or has a condition that prevents them from deploying, or let's leave their transgender surgery out of it. They're a fucking soldier, right? If they're in my formation and they have a medical issue that takes them out of fight, I don't get a backfill. Now I've got to work with my four that I have. And oh, by the way, God forbid, if something happens to one of the others, then now I've only got to work with three. I may get a tactical crossload. What that means is if you've got more than what you need, you might let me borrow some military manpower. But that doesn't always happen. So I think it affects more on the direct level. I could be wrong in saying this, but just from what I see and what I've experienced in the past year, sometimes we have to rob Peter to pay Paul just to meet a requirement. I need five people. Well, I only have three. Well, you need to go out and get two because I need five. You know, sometimes we could do the shuffle and work that way. That's on a case-by-case basis. But it doesn't always work that way. So moving on, in the news article, there was an author that mentioned the RAND study, again, about the medication. But it also was making a point about the cost being a bullshit factor, which we've already talked about. And I think they did have a valid point, but that wouldn't have been, again, they didn't have the metric I'm trying to read through the article and I'm trying to find my point. I scrolled and now I'm trying to find my place. So my apologies. Now, a more viable news source brought forth the concern about the 15,000 transgenders who are currently serving and how this decision can affect them. And, you know, we, the human race, will never be able to move forward if we can't get over ourselves and focus on more important things. You know, continuing to perpetuate hate and discontent, in my opinion, basically makes those people part of the problem and not the solution. But again, that's just my opinion and rant for the day. But I will tell you, some of these people that are being affected, these 15,000 are being affected, some of these people are in critical leadership positions. And now if Congress goes through and this becomes finalized and becomes law, if you will, What happens to them? Do we let them continue to serve their time out? I think that would be the logical answer. If let them play out their time, let them get out normally, just don't turn around and kick them out. I think that would be a disservice to somebody, regardless of how they identify themselves. I think that would be a disservice. I think it's a disservice where, you know, a soldier gets caught up in an issue where they get diagnosed with something and a particular, you know, a particular ailment that by regulation causes them to be placed on a medical evaluation board to be put out when they're so close to retirement. And sometimes the medical evaluation board will come back and say, you'll get nothing. So what does that mean? You know, do the right assessment, do the right thing, let that soldier retire out. If you're going to say they can't continue to serve, let them get out anyway. And I think we do soldiers injustice. Now, granted, if there's soldiers that, you know, are causing issues, causing problems, failure to adapt, then you do the right thing. But overall, I think maybe it's just a judgment call. It's a judgment call on hire. And that's what we have to kind of, that's what we really should be focusing on, is having a good understanding of the situations, the different situations that we're putting those individuals in. Cause you surely, if you were in their situation, you would not want it to happen to you. And I believe people fail to do that. People fail to understand what the consequences are of their actions. They make a decision based on what they think they know, but they don't think about the overall decision and how it affects them. And, or maybe they don't care because it's not them. They're not in their shoes. But you know, if they think about it for a good long, hard minute and put themselves in that person's shoes, would you want that done to you? Again, just my opinion and rant for the day. But I'm interested in knowing how you all feel. So please feel free to send me an email at nosyntaxpodcast.com. Or you could get me at nosyntaxpodcast@gmail.com. I'm really interested in knowing what you all think. Let me get some coffee. Yo, amazing. I haven't taken a swig of this yet. Okay. Now on to something a little bit more on the upside. So last episode, I mentioned that I talk a little on what fuels us here at Caffeine Driven Media. But before I get into this, I want to set out some parameters here. So basically, we aren't limited to just drinking coffee, even though it's our primary means of motivation in the morning and throughout the day. So what I'm getting at is we're open and prone to trying different coffee companies and other means of energy consumption. So what I want to talk about is a couple of things. And I posted this on, last night. I wanted to talk about Sneak in-game energy. And for some reason, this was really odd. I was on Instagram and I was just kind of scrolling through, liking a few posts, and, I happened to come across this word Sneak and this little cute bunny rabbit with this little look on his face, you know, one eyebrow raised, kind of looking like The Rock. And I went ahead and clicked the link because I wanted to see what it was about. And it's an in-game energy drink. There's multiple flavors, dietary supplement. I'm going to open the box here. And so what I did was I went ahead and I bought a sampler. And this sampler has four flavors that you can try. And of course, they come in like little barrels, not in the literal context. You know how when you go get, like any sort of powders like Tang or anything, like tubs, there you go. That's what I'm trying to say. And, so they've got different flavors and I've tried two so far. So I've tried Tropicilla and I've also tried Stealth. Now, this stuff is actually pretty good for, not having any sugar, which is good. There is no sugar at all. I'm looking at the supplemental facts and reading through. There is no sugars. There are no added sugars. Pretty much there's vitamin B12. There's a lot of other things in here that I think I'm like, okay. And I don't know a lot of what this is, but I know it's got at least, you know, 150 milligrams of caffeine. I know that it doesn't have any sugars and I am not, I didn't suffer any crashes. I drank this last night while I was gaming and I didn't have any crashes. I drank this last night when I was putting this podcast together before recording today. Didn't have any crashes. I actually went upstairs and, eased into my sleep. I wasn't fidgety. I didn't have any problem closing my eyes and crashing out. So, I really like this. I really enjoy this. Now, I will tell you this, okay? Nothing against these guys. This has nothing to do with them. But if you drink the Stealth, prepare for Crayola green colored poop. I'm just going to tell you that right now. That was a little weird. I mean, you know, open up in the literal context of opening up a box of crayons and you pull out green. That's exactly what you get when you drink the Stealth. Now, I drank Tropicula last night. I don't know if it's going to come out orange yellow. I'm not going to let you know. I'm not going to bring it up. It was just an observation. So anyway, I like it. I haven't tried all the flavors. I've only tried two so far, and they're really good. And I would recommend that when you drink these, drink them ice cold. Not to say that they taste bad when they start getting warm. They taste pretty good. But I noticed when I put some ice, especially in the Stealth flavor, which is, I think, their secret combination, absolutely phenomenal. It is really, really, of course, anything really tastes good ice cold, but just the overall flavor of it was really awesome. I still have yet to try Cherry Bomb and the Blue Raspberry, and I'll do a follow-up on them. But if you're interested in getting this, they are based out of the UK. Shipping is rather quick. To put it in perspective, I think I placed my order in earlier last week, and it was like 2 to 3 days. It was already en route, and I got it. So really awesome stuff. If you're interested in hitting them up, you could find them on Twitch, YouTube, and Instagram. Pretty much if you just look up We Are Sneak, you could find their information. You could hit them up for information at info@wearesneak.com, or you could go to their website at www.wearesneak.com. It's pretty cool. And the package I got, and they have different packages, but I wound up ordering things separately. I got the shaker bottle, which was depicted in the photo, along with the box of samplers. So I haven't quite decided if, you know, which tub that I'm going to get, which one I like. I may just continue to get the sampler box because, I can get any one that I want when I want it and, you know, at least have a little bit more of a choice. So, I recommend them highly, to try them out. I'd say on a scale of 1 to 5, I can't really give them a rating right now because I haven't tried the other two flavors. So I don't think that would be fair to them if I did that. So consequently, I know that I was drinking that last night, but to get to the crux of who fueled today's show instantly, I'm going back with Iron Bean Coffee. And here's the deal. So Fred and Chanel at Iron Bean Coffee Company, based out of Ohio, I got a message from them last night. So this is a bit of an ad lib. Freaking phenomenal people. Fred is a former Marine. Who operates out of his home, I believe. I think they turned their garage into a roastery. Fred, if I got this wrong, please feel free to let me know. But this family is the most personable family you will ever meet, most personable roasters that you could ever interact with. I mean, they are diehard fans of their fans, and they interact with you really well. Not only that, the coffee is just phenomenal. It's absolutely great. And consequently, today, the name of this coffee is Drink from the Skull of Your Enemy. And that's what I'm drinking this morning. I would recommend when you make coffee, for those of you who are not astute in the coffee, or not, that's not a good word. If you're not familiar with coffee, I would say take a gander and get some sampler packets, or just buy a bag and try their coffee. They're really, really good. I like getting whole bean and doing the grind and either going French press, or Chemex preferably. Just because the flavor is just really full and it's a lot more bolder and it just comes out so well and it smells so good. I really can't oversell them enough. Now, to be clear, they are not sponsors of the show. Okay. I believe I've said in one particular podcast that I support small business. I support these companies that are out there that are getting after it and fueling my love for coffee. And I will promote anybody who wants to get promoted, and get their name out there. Not that they haven't done it themselves already, but I think I need to help push that cause because they're really great people. It's a really great company, and consequently, they got some pretty kick-ass swag. So if you get a chance to, please go to their website. Yeah, you could Google, Iron Bean Coffee Company, or I believe it's www.ironbeancoffee or ironbeancoffeecompany.com. Either one of those two, I think, will get you there. And if that's not right, Google them. You'll find them. You can find them on Instagram. You can find them on Facebook. They post videos here and there about what they got going on. They're very active in the community. They're very active with their fans. I can't say enough about both Fred and Chanel. They are absolutely phenomenal. So again, this is today's show is fueled by Iron Bean Coffee. So if I hadn't said enough, I'll say it again. That's who fueled the show today. I appreciate everybody for listening. I know it's a little bit of a touchy situation, but I wouldn't be me if I didn't bring things up. And again, my opinion is my opinion. You could form your opinion and you're entitled to have it. If you've got any questions or if you've got any comments about what we spoke on today, feel free to bring them up in an email. I mean, we could have a person-to-person, adult-to-adult conversation on this, and we could speak about it more and pontificate about a few things. I mean, that's what makes America great. That's what makes us great. So that being said, I think I'm going to go ahead and close the show out here. But before I do, I lost my page here, but I wanted to go back. That audio file that you heard, that was a mishmash of, Billy Madison, and a announcement, or not announcement, but a conversation or a dissertation or, a briefing. I don't know where she was when she did this, but, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's been the subject of controversy on multiple occasions. She was first booed in Congress when she voted for electing Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House. And there's just a whole bunch of things that are going on with her. And for somebody who is in a seat that she's in, I don't know. I kind of felt that audio file that you heard was in line with what we talked about in kids having an understanding of what viable resources are and viable information is. And yes, at no point did she articulate anything that made sense whatsoever. Anyway, I digress. No Syntax is a production. Here I go. No Syntax is a production of Caffeine Driven Media. Music is by Rim Sky Music and can be found at premiumbeat.com. That's www.premiumbeat.com. Sound editing is by Auphonic.com. That's www.auphonic.com. Background music, I talked about this last week, can be found at melodyloops.com. That's www.melodyloops.com. Now, if you want to send an email, have comments about today's or other shows, you can email us at nosyntaxpodcast, that's one word, nosyntaxpodcast@gmail.com, or you could post your comments on our website at www.nosyntaxpodcast.net, N-E-T. November Echo Tango. You could also follow me on Twitter at No Syntax Podcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/no-syntax. Before I go, I just want to also mention that next week I'll talk a little bit more about Iron Bean Coffee, Iron Bean Coffee Company, give you a little backstory on them. I feel like I should do that. Fred and Chanel posted a comment on the .net webpage, and I thank you for the comment. I thank you for the follow. Both of you are great. And so I want to do this for you at Hand on Heart, kindness of my heart, because you've been good to me. You've been good to the community, and, God bless. So I will talk to everybody later. See you next week. Have a great work week. Have a great Monday. Mondays suck. I know this. We are in Sunday morning. M-O-U-R-N-I. And I can't spell today, but you get my point. All right. So everybody have a good day. Take care of each other. And I will see you on the other side.